show that exposes the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
All righty. Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It is time to talk gardening and landscaping and whatever else you'd like to discuss. I'm getting some questions on pest problems, insects, and there's a few diseases out there in the turf, especially. That's where we hear about the most diseases at this time of the year, brown patch and take all patch maybe hanging around, gray leaf spot, and some other things. Cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal is the answer. Don't listen to the people that try to push you over to the toxic chemicals. Not only are they toxic, can cost more, they don't work very well because they're indiscriminate. They kill the beneficial microbes as well or better, more effectively than they kill the targeted pathogens. That's why the cornmeal works so well. Cornmeal works by stimulating beneficial microorganisms, one specifically called trichoderma, and that's why it works so well. It's why it works so well with trees. If trees are having a problem down in the hill country, some of the people that are getting into organics, not quite as much as we have with the whole sick tree treatment, but certainly come in our direction, they have discovered for themselves how well the cornmeal works. And one of the things that some of the arborists are recommending down there for oak wilt and other tree problems as well is to put the cornmeal out closer to the trunk and water closer to the trunk. We've always told people to cover the entire root zone, and I still believe that because I think it does a lot of good for the entire root system of a tree, plus the turf, if there is turf under the trees, and the other plantings, ground covers, shrubs, and things like that. So if the budget allows it, if the budget doesn't allow it, keeping the treatments closer to the trunk inside the drip line, it's fine and it seems to work pretty well. I just think that covering the entire root zone works even better. Telephone number to be with us is 866, and wide open lines, jump right on here if you want to. We'll be doing our usual back and forth as we always do, but give me a call. David's ready to get you all set up in there at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. Weather around here is very nice, as it usually is in October. It's always almost always my favorite month. Very cool and nice in the morning. Still getting a little toasty, actually pretty hot during the middle of the day. One thing you got to be careful about if you're setting out transplants, like we have recently done, setting out some cool season vegetables in the garden that we've gotten back in pretty good shape, and we'll be keeping you posted on that and talk about a few things today, in fact. But keep an eye on new transplants during the heat, even though we've got cooler weather. I let a couple of transplants, the Swiss chard, get a little burned. They're coming back and going to be all right, but I let them get a little damaged, a little stressed by not watering. And sometimes when we're going through this period of time and you're putting out new little tender transplants, especially vegetable things, are pretty tender, you might have to water as much as twice a day until they get rooted in and are doing well. And we've got our beds mulched very nicely and all, but they can still get dry during the day if you don't throw a little water on there. You don't have to do it forever. You just do it until they get their roots down and get established and start growing. Swiss chard is a delicate plant a little bit in the beginning, and then once you get it going, it's tough as nails, and it's good for a whole lot of things. The leaves are good to go in your greens mixes or to be eaten by itself, cooked or fresh, raw with salads. And the stalks can be chopped up and used to cook with soups and various kinds of things. And I mentioned last week on the show, one of the pet experts we've had really recommends chopping up the stalks of Swiss chard and giving it to your dogs. I don't know if it'd be that great for the cats or not. Probably would, but for dogs, apparently it's really, really good. And we tend to give chopped up vegetables to our dogs anyway to go along with the dog food. So the Swiss chard makes a good addition to that way of thinking. And what else is going on there? We're still fighting a few weeds. The three weeds that have become the biggest problem, and it was self-inflicted to a great degree because we quit, or I quit, managing the vegetable garden at the level that I should have been doing. And we got a bunch of weeds going. And the other thing I had done, which was a real goofy thing to do, was I planted some peppermint in the vegetable garden. And that works okay, but you need to keep it contained. And if you don't keep it contained, it becomes a big problem like it has for us. So we've been getting rid of it, and it takes a while because any of the little rhizomes, those little white runners underground that you leave in the ground for mint, if you're trying to get rid of it, is going to bring the mint right back. So if you made the same mistake I did, you got to get it all out of there and keep the mints and the other invasive type plants, mint's the worst one, in containers raised above the garden so it doesn't escape and become a problem for you. Well, we've got people already calling in pretty strongly, so let me catch up so people don't have to hold so long. Brian in Fort Worth is first up today. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I really respect your opinion. I've been listening for you
for
years and years and years. Hey, we are going to build a new house. It's supposed to be ready around March, and we have a magnolia tree in our current home's backyard that we're thinking about transplanting, and I wanted to get your advice about that.
About transplanting the magnolia?
Yes, sir, to see if it would be possible or a good idea or just maybe start over with a new one.
Okay. Well, they can be transplanted pretty easily. How big a magnolia is it?
It's about 9 feet tall right now.
Okay. Well, I think at that size, they'll transplant pretty easily. I would probably get a contractor to help you with it because a 9-foot tree is going to need a pretty heavy ball on it if you ball and burlap it and move it that way, which would give you the best chance of success. The other thing you can do, starting at this time of the year, and I've done this quite a bit on an experimental basis, but you can literally bare root a tree that size. In fact, trees larger than that. And if you do it after the fall color starts to happen, and so we're real near that time period, you can move a tree completely bare rooted and have a very high percentage of chance of survival. Ball and burlapped, it would be better. It's going to be, moving a heavier plant. The ball's going to weigh a lot. If you bare root it, you can bare root it with an air spade, have an arborist, landscape contractor help you with that and move it bare rooted with one person. So, one of those two ways is what I would recommend.
Okay. That sounds good.
Good luck with it. This time of the year shouldn't be any problem for the magnolia at all. And I'll tell you one other tip, and this might help some other people too. Magnolia does an interesting thing, and that is that it goes dormant a second time in the middle of the summer. And so you can actually do this work on magnolias. Probably some other trees will handle it just as easily, but the magnolia for sure goes dormant in the summer and can be moved then too.
Okay, perfect.
All right,
thank you, sir.
Good luck with it, and let me know how it works.
All right, thanks.
Let's see. Fran's up to calling from Delaware. Hey, Fran.
Hi there. Good morning. I'm having a problem with dogs in the area, particularly, a couple dogs. And I bought Repels All. It says animal repellent. I mean, I don't want anything that's going to hurt a dog. I just want to keep it off the lawn.
Okay. A couple of things. There's a commercial brand that you need to make a note of and take a look at and try. It's called Scram. And
Grant.
Yeah, they make it's changed some over the years, so I'm not positive. They still have a dog scram. They have a deer scram and a raccoon scram and a rabbit scram and all kinds of different things. And the company has changed a couple of times. They used to have a dog scram, and it worked well. The other thing you can do, sounds gross, but it works, is use the poop of the dogs that are a problem, make a tea, and pour it in the area where they're coming in and being a problem, and it works really well. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run, and Howard, I'll be right back.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Crazy Water. Crazy Water is what I drink, and you should too. Crazy Water is naturally alkaline with trace minerals and electrolytes for taste, health, and body balance. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find nearby stores across Texas. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy Water has been helping people feel better since 1881. It's so good, it's crazy.
Azomite is a naturally occurring rock mineral and organic micronutrient soil amendment for improving root systems, plant vigor, and crop quality. Azomite can be used alone or with other amendments and fertilizers for your gardens, lawns, and trees from planting to maturity. Azomite can also be added to animal feed for chickens, horses, and other livestock. Order Azomite by calling Mike at 301-219-7540 or by going to where2buy at azomite.com/results. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Tired of pain and poor health? Well, before you operate or medicate, regenerate with Infinity Stem Cells to activate your body's internal repair system, just as I did. It's simple, safe, effective, and affordable. To learn more, call 800-341-2650. Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine, personal health, and longevity. Call 800-341-2650 or visit AchieveVitality.net.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive immune formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life.
Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And Fran apparently has a little bit more for me. Fran, you still there?
You said scram, but then you said something else, but you cut off so fast for a commercial, I couldn't hear you.
Well, the other way to go is a homemade thing. You literally take some of the dog droppings, the poop, and put it in a 5-gallon bucket, let it make a tea out of it. Sounds kind of gross, but it actually works very well, especially if they're coming into one particular area and digging or one particular area that and doing whatever the problem is. But anyway, pouring that tea of their own poop in an area literally keeps them away very well. Now, it'll finally wear off, and you might have to do it again. But it's something that we've recommended for a long time, and I've had a lot of good reports about it working well. And I've done it myself.
I don't think I'm cooking poop in my kitchen with a good pan.
No, you don't do it with a pan.
Other item that you mentioned, where would I purchase that?
You don't do it with a pan. You do it outside with a 5-gallon bucket, and it's not gross at all. It's a really good way to go. The scram you'd have to buy online, and if your local stores don't have it. Sometimes the farm and ranch stores or the feed stores will have it in stock, and some of the big box stores will even have it from time to time.
Like an Agway or something like that?
Yeah. You just have to call around and see. It's not going to be in every store, and if worse comes to worse, you can buy it online. And Mike's turn, calling from Dallas. Hello, Mike.
Yes, good morning, and to the point, I have two trees that I got for free, and I want to know how close I can plant them to my house. And I have another little tidbit that I didn't get when I was talking to your screener. I have some 6-foot white oak, and I got 8 of them, and I was wanting to put them on all 4 sides of my house. How close can I plant those to the house?
Well, there's not a magical number there or formula that would work in every case, because trees sometimes can be very close to a house and not ever cause a problem at all. In fact, I'm helping a neighbor of mine right now, and they're going to be taking a house down and building a new house around a tree. Now, it's a live oak in this case. But, the whole root system of the tree is going to end up being under the house. And there are houses like that all over the world that have big trees close to the house. But the closer you get, and what's the number? I don't know. It'd be a guess. But the closer you get to the house, the better chance there would be for the flares to build and grow up and cause some damage. If you wanted to stay out to where it wouldn't be a problem at all, you can go out you know, 30 or 40 feet, and that's really not ever going to be a problem even for a big tree like a white oak. But you could probably plant closer than that. I've got probably 7 trees, for example, at our house that are within 7 feet of the house, and they're oaks, they're big trees. But I can't recommend that you plant them up there really close. All I'm saying is that the chances are that you could get fairly close and not have a problem, especially if you do some root pruning from time to time. But here's the thing. If you have a tree near a foundation of a house, you know what works as a root barrier as well as anything in most cases? That the beam of the house. The roots grow over and hit the beam, and they don't usually dip down and go under and cause a problem. They can, especially if there's a leak under the house or something like that, or if the foundation is cracked or broken, you know, there's some problem. But in most cases, they'll hit that beam and they'll go sideways. And anybody that has a tree that's worried about it and wants to look at it, you can have somebody come in with an air spade, use the air spade, and go down right at the beam and see what the roots are doing. And if they're trying to be a problem, they can be pruned away just like pruning limbs in the canopy of the tree. So the answer for you is who knows what would be a perfectly safe distance. But if you went out, like I said, 30 or 40 feet away and planted the trees, you're not going to have a problem. If you go in 5, 6, 10 feet, you know, it could be a problem at some point.
Well, and between me and my neighbor, we only have 20 feet between my house and his house. So I'm going to have to plant it. So that's about 10 feet.
Yeah, both would have 10 feet. I think that would be fine, but you just never know. There is always a possibility that the roots could be really aggressive and cause a problem. But like I said, you don't need to do it every year or even every few years, but every once in a while, or especially after the tree gets some size on it, have an arborist come in and use an air spade, or you can do it yourself with hand tools, go down right at the beam and see what the roots are doing over at the beam. You know, look at it and see whether it looks like they're becoming a problem or not.
The other thing is, on that side of the house, there is no water from my house, but I think he's got a kitchen on that side in between us. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I got some cypress trees, and how far apart should I plant those to make them look kind of like a fence, where they're, you know, the limbs come out and touch each other?
Oh, probably about 15 feet. I wouldn't plant them closer than that. You can, but it really crowds them, and cypress has a tendency to have limbs die if they're shaded out by themselves or by the limbs from other trees. So say around 12, 15 feet, and I think you'll be fine. I'm going to put you on hold if you had anything else, because I've got to run for a minute, Mike. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com, all spelled out, DirtDoctor, dirtdoctor.com.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and helping sick trees? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or sign up for a course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner. That's dirtdoctor.com, or call 866-444-3478.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products.
truth. Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. No, I did not recommend putting poop in a pan and cooking it on your stove, just in case anybody else heard that like she apparently did. Mike is still with us, I believe. What's up, Mike?
Yes. I was on the phone with the screener, and I got a little tidbit about a green that was edible, and I didn't get the name of it.
A green that's edible? I was talking about at the beginning of the show, is that what you mean?
Yes, I think.
Well, I was talking about Swiss chard specifically, and there's one Swiss chard that I like the most. It's called Rainbow. And it's called Rainbow because there's green and red and yellow stalks. It's really, really pretty, really a decorative plant. But it's also good eating. Swiss chard's very good.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. And we've got open lines now for the first time since we started. Jump on here at 866-444-3478. Catching up on a few things here. One is the SPCA report. I got a good-looking dog, Andy. He's a sweet one-year-old lab retriever. Not a whole lot of lab look to him, but maybe he is. Big old floppy ears, a big tongue. It's hard not to fall in love with him at first sight. He came to the SPCA of Texas from a cruelty case, and because of his rough past, he's a little bit shy and timid around people right at first, but over time he has really warmed up to the staff at the SPCA and shown what a gentle, loving boy he is. He is one year old male. He still needs to work on building his confidence a little bit, so he's looking for a patient family, and you need to check him out. He looks like a good one, black and white colors. You can see his picture on our website on dirtdoctor.com. SPCA of Texas asks that you bring all family members to meet him so everyone could get acquainted before you take him home. He would love to meet any potential canine companions also. And he's waiting for you at the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center in Dallas. To request an appointment to meet Andy, just go to the website, spca.org/adopt. spca.org/adopt. And there's several other wonderful dogs that we've reported on for you that are still there looking for homes as well. The SPCA is a wonderful facility, but they would really preferred to be with somebody in a new home. So thanks for your help there. And around the country, support your rescue organizations wherever you are in the country. Whether you're looking for a mutt or a purebred dog doesn't make any difference. An email I got asked an interesting question, and that is azomite okay to use when planting trees instead of lava sand, green sand, and zeolite? A couple of points here. One is, of those rock minerals, azomite's real high on my list because it is from volcanic activity originally, and it's loaded with trace minerals. It's buffered with carbon in it, so it's got a lot of bioavailable nutrients. It stimulates biological activity and all kinds of good things. So azomite, it's a commercial product, and it's available out there pretty easily. But what would be ideal would be to use the azomite and the lava sand and the green sand and zeolite, too. I like zeolite. I don't talk about it as often as I talk about some of the other rock minerals, but it's a good one. And it's sometimes easier to find than other times, so it's one of the reasons I don't mention it always. But the other point related to this question is I don't recommend any of these rock minerals going down in the hole when you're planting a tree, at least any great amount of it. You could mix a little bit, I guess, in with the existing soil. But basically what we want to do is put the soil that came out of the hole back in planting a tree, and then these rock minerals and the compost, all of the amendments that I recommend, go on the surface after you have planted and backfilled and settled the soil with water around the tree. Then we apply these things to the surface. We don't want to have a different texture, a different kind of soil down in the hole. In other words, if you dug a hole in clay soil and they thought, well, I want the tree to grow real well in a hurry right at first, I'm going to backfill with a nice sandy loam instead of that old clay that came out of the hole. Well, that's a bad idea, because what happens is the tree at first will appear, if you don't hold water too much, it's keeping the moisture level right when you do that is one of the issues. But the other one is as the tree's roots grow out into that nice soft soil that you have put in instead of the existing soil that you should have backfilled with, the roots will grow real well, but they'll grow over and hit the wall of the clay of the existing soil, and they'll go, I don't like that, and turn and start circling inside the hole. And you, long term, you end up with a real problem. You end up with roots that aren't going out properly and fanning out in all directions, instead growing around and around in a circle, and you end up getting circling and girdling roots and all sorts of problems. And like I said, it's difficult when you do that to balance the proper moisture level in the hole when you have a completely different texture soil than what's outside the hole. Now, if you're planting a tree in solid rock, it's a different story. You got to bring some soil in. But in that case, you try to get some soil that's as close to the native soil of what little soil there is in the area, mixing it with broken up rock is fine, no problem at all. And if you're planting in solid rock, for a couple of reasons, set the tree even higher than I normally recommend, and then build up some soil to it so that it has a little native soil instead of just solid rock right at the tree. And the tree will do fine. It'll develop in that, and the tree's roots will actually at some point find little fissures and cracks in the rock and start growing on out. But in general, you want to backfill with nothing but the soil that comes out of the hole. Now, if you're planting small trees in a prepared bed, for example, if you've prepared great big landscape beds and you're planting shrubs and ferns and ground covers and annuals and perennials, and you're also planting some trees, you know, whether it's ornamental trees like Mexican plum and Mexican buckeye and Japanese maple and things like that, or if it's just small trees that are big, they're going to become big trees. Well, in that case, when you dig the hole, you've dug a hole in this prepared bed that has compost and rock minerals and all the stuff in there. The whole bed has been prepared, you know, to a depth of 10 to 12 inches, however deep you tilled it. Well, in that case, you do end up putting the amendments in the hole because that's what the whole area is. You're still doing the same thing that I recommend, backfilling with the stuff that came out of the hole. Just common sense. It's a pretty big deal on planting trees to do that. We got open lines if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. Another interesting question that came in today, it was actually a complaint that came in from somebody saying that when they did a search on DirtDoctor.com, what came up were products that the Dirt Doctor shouldn't be recommending. It was, you know, synthetic products and things that were a little bit of a head scratcher. Well, here's the deal that you need to understand. I've talked about this, and I probably ought to bring it up more often, because the search box on DirtDoctor.com, when you look at the homepage, up at the right-hand corner, there's a whole bunch of important stuff up there. It has the Fabulous Tree slideshow, information about my books, my art, and the online courses and all that. But also there's a search window there, and it says Google search. I believe it says, yeah, enhanced by Google. That is the search box for our website. What throws people is this, and it did me at first too, but there's nothing we can do about it. It ends up being a much higher quality search going this route. The first two or three or four entries that pop up when you do a search, say you put in a search for lava sand or ladybugs or whatever it is, the first entries that come up, they're going to have a little box, a little square box out at the start of the entry that says ad, A-D, in it. And that's what it is. It's a paid advertisement, and Google puts those in there. It has nothing to do with us. So you go down below those that have that little ad square, and the first one that does not have an ad square is what our search begins with and gives you the organic information and all that kind of thing. So it's a little bit confusing at first. Once you see how it works, it's no big deal. So, let's see what time. We've got time. Jake in Fort Worth will at least get started with you. What's up?
Good morning. The area I live in by Eagle Mountain Lake, if you go down 6 inches in the dirt, you hit rock.
Okay.
And my backyard has just been devastated over the years. We've just moved in there last year, and it's more dust and dirt than it is grass of any kind. And I'm wondering, do I bring in more topsoil, or can I do a sod on something like that? How do I recover my backyard?
Well, Jake, that's exactly what our front yard in Lakewood in Dallas is. We've got about 6 inches of black soil before you start hitting caliche, and below that is solid, you know, white limestone and then shale under that. So
Yeah,
you do just the same thing that you do anywhere else. You use the organic amendments, the basic organic program that we have on the website. Planting sod in that kind of soil is no problem at all. You just put the sod down on the existing soil, what soil you have, and you put the organic amendments on top of that. And if you're doing beds, you just till into that top however many inches it is, the compost, the rock minerals, and the sugars, and plant away, and you'll be surprised how well pretty much anything you want to grow is going to grow in that situation.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll go to the website and get that recipe going.
Not a problem. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Crazy Water. Crazy Water is what I drink, and you should too. Crazy Water is naturally alkaline with trace minerals and electrolytes for taste, health, and body balance. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find nearby stores across Texas. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy Water has been helping people feel better since 1881. It's so good, it's crazy.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Have you heard that the Old Farmer's Almanac says that we may have the coldest winter that we've had in years? So how do we get ready? Well, one thing is to put the freeze miser on all of your outdoor hydrants. No batteries or electricity, just some incredible technology that senses when the water in the lines fall below 37 degrees and then releases the exact amount of water that it needs. Ask for it by name at your favorite nursery, hardware, farm and ranch store, or log in to freezemiser.com. It's the freeze miser, and it works.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
With the changing of seasons and the transition to winter plantings, Medina offers the perfect fertilizer for your gardening needs. Medina's Growing Green is an OMRI-listed organic fertilizer derived from pasteurized poultry manure. Growing Green is naturally slow release for continuous feeding to build healthier soil and root systems through three stages of activity, including balanced nutrient supply, structure repair for the soil, and trace mineral availability. Your lawns, flowers, trees, and vegetable gardens, and the potted plants will all love Medina's Growing Green organic fertilizer. The commercial version of Garrett Juice is also available from Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Visit online at MedinaAg.com to learn more about this family of natural lawn and garden products. For the whole blooming garden, Medina makes it happen. 59 years young and always environmentally friendly, MedinaAg.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green.
Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And that number is 866 to be on the show. 866-444-3478. My tea this morning, I really loaded up quite a few things that I've told you about in the past, and one additional. It has the organic green tea, OSHA, and also ginger. Went back to using ginger in the tea. It used to be my kind of main go-to ingredient, and I got away from it for a while, but I've gotten back to it, and I put a bunch of ginger in this morning. It was probably close to two rounded tablespoons of ginger in the teapot, but also OSHA and then the green tea, and then at the end, I normally don't do this until it has brewed just a little bit and started to cool down some. I squeezed about not quite a half a lemon into it, and it gives it a very nice flavor. So if you want to try something a little different, that would be good. Ginger, OSHA root, O-S-H-A, green tea. Get yourself a nice organic green tea, really a good base tea. By itself, it's great, too. And this one has a little organic lemon juice in it as well. And let's see what else I hadn't caught up on for you. We do have the mystery photo up. It's a little different today. It is from one of the plants at my office. It's one of the interesting plants relative to that February freeze we had. You remember that? Down to zero. I'm seeing some strange things still happening from that. And this plant used to be, it's a plant that flowers real heavily, but it flowered completely differently this year. It flowered a little bit later, and it flowered less. It had less blooms on it than it normally had. So I think you're still seeing a little bit of strange results on plants from that freeze. My Mexican white oak, for example, it's usually so thick with green leaves, evergreen leaves, that you can't hardly even see through the canopy. And you can see through it quite a bit. It would almost scare you thinking that the plant's in really serious stress if you didn't know the history, you know, that freeze that we had. And it defoliated the tree completely. But then it came back, but it came back with less foliage on it than it normally has. I think this next season will be perfectly back to normal. We'll see. I'll keep you posted on it and and let you know. I'm also seeing a few as I drive around checking different projects and everything. I'm also seeing a few trees that surprised me that were completely killed. And, boy, it's totally inconsistent. I'm seeing some live oak trees that are dead as a doornail that don't appear to, you know, have any problem, not planted excessively too deep in the ground and don't appear to, you know, have sapsuckers riddling the bark or anything else like that. But just dead, brown leaves all over the entire tree and obviously bit the dust. So if you're seeing some of that, you know, you may be, they're probably not going to live through the winter and then come out in the spring. If they're looking dead and they're brittle and dry limbs and everything right now, you need to go ahead and bite the bullet and get the plants out and maybe plant something else if it doesn't look good without the tree or whatever, the tree or shrub or whatever it is in that place. And let's see, in Howard's garden stuff. I've got, speaking of that, I'm a little behind. I'm doing a little bit of dead, very light dead twigs and small branches inside the canopy of even the big tree in my backyard that is the Nelly climbing tree. And you don't have to rush to do it, but it'd be good to go ahead and get it done now while you can see the green leaves and see the brown leaves and see what's dead and just get it cleaned up a little bit, getting any dead limbs out, taking that weight off. The tree will appreciate it anyway. Yeah, it does do some good to get it out. It's not just a cosmetic situation. So that's going on. The garden, back to the vegetable garden at the office, like I said, we'd let it get completely overrun with weeds, Carolina snail seed and the peppermint and the bindweed and various kinds of things. We even had some great big old sunflowers. And what I do with sunflowers when I take them out, I leave the roots in. I don't pull the roots out. I cut it down just like cutting down a tree and just above the ground and leave the root system in the ground. The root system, as it dies and rots, helps to build the soil. And if you're not at the point where the soil is perfectly healthy and you know that, you know, it couldn't hardly be any better, leaving some of the crops that you remove, whether it's small vegetable crops or perennials or even annuals in some cases, leaving the roots in a lot of cases, is a good thing to do. The only time I would say it's not the best thing to do, when you planted annuals and the annuals came from a growing operation that used peat moss balls, and you can tell when you're pulling them out, the root system will have gone away from the peat moss balls, but leaving those peat moss balls in the ground, probably not the best thing to do. I'd probably pull them up, tear them apart, throw them in the compost pile, let them be turned into something a little bit more helpful than just solid peat moss. We'll take a little break here and then come back for the second hour. If you want to get ready to be on the show, it's 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com.